You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, we'll talk about the significance of the HBO series Game of Thrones as the final season begins this weekend. First, it's time for our weekly review of news stories from around the state. The race for village president in McFarland came down to a dramatic and unexpected finish this week. Governor Evers put a painting back up in the governor's mansion after his predecessor had it taken down, and UW-Stevens Point is saying that it's choosing not to cut some major programs that had been on the chopping block. Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
So, Rob, we hear a lot during election season about how every vote counts, but that was really the case in the election last week for McFarland's village president. The race was close and got even closer. What happened?
Every vote does count. So there are about 8,000 people in the village of McFarland in Dane County, and they elected their village president. The race last week came down to one vote. The incumbent village president got 1,187 votes, and the challenger came up short with 1,186. So it was a close election, but like what else is new, right? The challenger requested a recount. The results held up. That's that. But wait! This week, a staff member at the McFarland Village Hall discovered an unopened absentee ballot. It was in a bin used to store and transfer absentee ballots, which to me, I feel like is probably where you would expect it to be. don't listen to me. I somehow lost the key to my front door not long ago. So this vote, this would have done it. This would have thrown the entire result of the election into chaos. You have a tie. You have to do that thing where they draw straws or whatever. So they opened the envelope, they read the ballot, and lo and behold, it was a vote for the incumbent. Turns out the guy won by two votes, so chaos averted.
Brad Zibatier got a bigger margin because that was found instead of McFarland being divided right up the middle.
Yep, it's a landslide.
Wow, that is a super interesting story. And especially, it is kind of surprising that ballot was just kind of floating around for a while.
Yeah, you hear about these things, right? And I guess one thing that was unusual was that it did happen like a week after the election. But clerks have a hard job. It's a lot of paper to wrangle and so on. But it's probably best that they found it, you know, better to count every vote.
But if anybody thinks their vote doesn't count, this is proof it does. Mm-hmm. Well, Governor Evers held a press event at the governor's mansion recently to talk about something we don't always hear about in state politics, a painting. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not an art critic, Judith, but I do have excellent taste. This is a good painting. It's called Wishes in the Wind. It is a hyper-realistic painting by the artist David Lenz. So it, like, looks like a photograph, but it has this vividness to it, and it shows a multiracial group of three kids on a snowy Milwaukee neighborhood street, and they're blowing bubbles with these bubble wands. It's really nice. It's really nice. So the painting had been in the governor's mansion, and Governor Scott Walker took it down when he came into office 8 years ago, and he replaced it with a painting of Old Abe, the Civil War era bald eagle. And so this was news that Evers made the decision to restore this painting to its spot in the governor's mansion.
And did Evers say anything? I mean, it sounds like there was kind of an event around it. What did he have to say about making that choice?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this doesn't affect anyone's actual life. This isn't policy. But I think politicians know that there is symbolism or theater or something that is part of their job, and they make choices of what symbols they display, and it does matter. So to Evers, who he has a background in education, it's significant to him. He said as much, that this is a portrait of children, that they're in an urban environment is significant, that the particular subjects of this specific painting have their own backstories as well. One was featured in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel column on homelessness once upon a time. One had family members killed by a drunk driver. So for sure, for Evers, this is a way of expressing empathy with this sort of neighborhood street, I think.
Did anyone ask former Governor Walker what he thought of the change?
I don't know if anyone asked, but Governor Walker, who tweets a lot these days, had a, you know, he did speak up. He said, like, an alternate headline on this story would be that Governor Evers has removed this portrait of the Civil War. His reason, he has his own symbols, right? He has his own reasons, and he said his were to honor the Wisconsinites who fought in the Civil War and those who lost their lives in the Civil War, which is a good symbol too. So yeah, I don't, you know, I suppose you can get a little wrapped around the axle about the symbolism here, but yes, Governor Walker did have a rather defensive response, I think.
We're talking with Rob Menser right now. He's a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau, taking our weekly look at some news stories from around the state. And Rob, yesterday on the show, we heard about UW-Stevens Point choosing to back off of its plan to cut majors in the liberal arts. We've talked with you about this story pretty often in the past year when it's been unfolding. What stuck out to you about the news that we got this week?
Right. So, yeah, so listeners may know the sort of basic outline here, but it is 1 year ago, UWSP proposed just sweeping cuts, more than 20 majors, history, art, political science, a lot of humanities programs. That then was met with widespread protests in Stevens Point and sort of across higher education circles. The university later came back with a much scaled down plan that still cut some majors, like some languages, but it left most of the other programs intact. And the new news this week is that they won't cut any of those programs after all.
And is this going to stay? I mean, this got national attention. Do you think this role of the humanities in public universities is going to stay in the focus right now?
This is one reason why we've been talking about this story for the last year, right? I mean, it is an important story for Central Wisconsin and for UWSP. But another reason is because this proposal was sort of the most dramatic or sort of the leading edge of a set of other changes that a lot of different regional college campuses are making. The other thing, I mean, I think it's important to understand, like, this, I think it would be a mistake to view this as sort of like total victory for opponents to humanities cuts, because the reason, UWSP is upfront about this, the reason that the programs can be spared is because there's been a wave of faculty retirements, resignations, and essentially what's happened is that they've ended up saving enough money in payroll expenses that they don't need to cut the programs.
So, Rob, probably our most important news of the week. We have some news about you. You've been our weekly guest for the Wisconsin News Roundup since August of 2015. This is our last week with you for this segment, but the news is not all bad. What's happening?
I am really excited. I will, in a couple of weeks here, a week and a half, I will be joining Wisconsin Public Radio as a reporter. I'll be based here in Wausau and able to report on lots of different stories for the state network, I hope.
And your title is Rural Communities Reporter, based in Wausau. What kind of stories are you looking to cover?
Yeah, Rural Communities Reporter. So my way of thinking about this is, you know, everybody knows sort of the big story about rural Wisconsin, right? There, the big story is that rural areas are losing population. The population they have is aging, and there are all sorts of follow-on effects from this, sort of economic and cultural effects. But the way I think about it is that is not all there is to know. There are small cities and small towns in Wisconsin that are doing really interesting things to get young people to move there or to, you know, adapt to changes in their communities. There are interesting stories about entrepreneurs and startup businesses and just fascinating things going on in these communities. And there are also places where the population is not declining at all. One reason is because there are immigrant communities that are growing. Mm-hmm. So there's like a whole bunch of stories. This is the idea. I hope I can tell some good ones, and I'm really excited to try to tackle some.
Well, Rob, we are thrilled to be welcoming you to WPR, and I'm sure we will talk to you in that role.
If I write a good story.
Rob, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Rob Menser is going to be joining WPR later this month as the Rural Communities Reporter. He's been our regular guest on the weekly news roundup since August of 2015.